Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of Using Your Keys, Using My Keys. This is your host, Valerie Burrell. Excited about what God is sharing with us, what He's speaking, what He's instilling in us, and how love is going to make a difference in our lives. And it is our prayer, those who take the time to really dig deep in their understanding of love. We are in this first day of February 2015, a brand new year, again with brand new opportunities. And this month on the Empowerment Place, Using My Keys, our theme will be love. Today we'll want to talk about I Want to Know What Love Is. We started this conversation during our Live at 5 prayer on Wednesday, and it sort of provokes some insight and some understanding and some questioning of our own ideas, whether we were truly operating in love or an idea of what love is based on what we've seen or what we've heard, what we've experienced. Today we're going to talk about I Want to Know What Love Is. Then starting on Wednesday, February 4th, we're going to talk to a group of singles, three single men, three single women, and whoever calls in, about do you really know what love is? And we're going to talk about it from a singles perspective and how they initiate in relationships based on love or the idea of love. Next, the following week, we're going to talk about love after divorce. I've encountered several individuals who were married, and because of how the marriage went wrong, are afraid to try love again. Then there are some others who have loved and are not afraid to try again. So we're going to talk about that, love after divorce. The following week, we're going to talk about, making marriage work. Yes. Making marriage work. And I may have these in the wrong order, so check our site. But one week we're going to have making marriage work. I believe that's right. Making marriage work. We're going to talk to some married couples. We're going to talk about love in the blended family. So you're going to want to be in that as well. And that's what I forgot. Starting Wednesday the 4th. Wednesday the 4th, we're going to talk about whose idea of love are you living by, God's or man's. And then we'll move from that. The second week, we'll talk to singles. The third week, we'll talk to divorced individuals. On the fourth week, we'll talk about marriage and making marriage work and the blended family. So, yeah, charge that to my mind, not my heart. But we're going to talk about love. We're going to get an understanding of what love really is and how we're to walk in love and how it's going to make a difference in the world that we live in. So, Father, we thank you now for this teaching time. We thank you for the words that you've spoken, that you've placed in our spirits. We ask now, God, that the anointing to teach and to illuminate your word would flow fresh. Father, binding every hindrance now that would stop the flow of your word, we ask that you would open up eyes, ears, and spirits to receive these seeds, these keys to empowerment. We thank you and count it done now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're on the phone line this morning and you desire to speak, you have a question or a comment, just press 1 and we'll bring you in live. Amen. So I want to know what love is. We define love a lot of different ways. We define love, let's look at the dictionary and see how Merriam-Webster defines love. Boom. Love is a feeling of strong or constant affection for a person. Love is an attraction that includes sexual desire. Love is the strong affection felt by people who have a romantic relationship. Love is a person you love in a romantic way. The full definition reads this way. Love is a strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties. It's a maternal love. It's also an attraction based on sexual desire, affection, and tenderness felt by lovers. It's also an affection based on admiration, benevolence, or common interests, love of his old school mates. Love is also an assurance of affection, warm attachment, enthusiasm, or devotion. Love is the object of attachment, devotion, or admiration. Love is a beloved person, often used as a term of endearment, used as an informal term of address. Love is unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for good of another, the fatherly concern of God for humankind, brotherly concern for others, a person's adoration of God, a God or personification of love, an amorous episode, a sexual embrace, a score of zero, a capitalized Christian Science. Love. Now, it's pretty cool to me that as I read these definitions in Merriam-Webster, before you get to anything regarding God, you see this stuff about an emotion, an attachment, a sexual desire, romance. But is that really what love is? From the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 13, we read this way, starting at verse 4. This says that love is patient, love is kind. It is not envious, love does not brag. It is not puffed up, it is not rude, it is not self-serving, it is not easily angered or resentful. It is not glad about injustice, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, it believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And when you hear that description of what love is from the Word, and you look at the definition from Merriam-Webster, I think it very easily can speak to why there is so much confusion about what love is. About what love is. But I want to know. I want to know what love is. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you hear the difference? What love is. My husband and I were up this morning about 3 o'clock talking about love. Because I posed a question to him as well. You say you love me, but what does that mean? What does that really mean? So he talked also about some attributes of love. And I, in turn, talked about attributes of love that I saw in him. But we talked attributes. The Word tells us God is love. So in order to know what love is, you have to know who God is. Anything else is an idea. I was talking to Pastor Moore yesterday, and I was sharing with him about the topic of love, and he said, generally, anybody who can easily define love really doesn't know what love is. And I agree with him, because anyone who can easily spit out, I love you and this is why I love you, are really basing these thoughts of love on ideas that are perceived by man, but really have nothing to do with the Word of God. You may hear someone say, you know, especially our young people, you hear them say, I love you. I love, girl, I love you. And if you were to ask them, what is it you love about me? I love your hair. I love your eyes. I love the way you fill out those jeans. I love that you're smart. I love that you're personable. I love, okay, you love ideas and you love things about me. But tell me what it is about me that makes you feel like you love me. And people have a hard time answering that question. I know we have a few callers on the line this morning, and I really would appreciate some feedback. If you're up to it, just press 1 and give me your input on just that. When someone says to you, I love you, what are you hearing so that you really understand what love is? Are you hearing words of adoration? Are you hearing words of relationship? Are you expecting that because you say you love me, you want to grow with me? Because, again, when we look at this scripture, love is kind. So if I say I love you, but I'm abusing you, do I love you? If I say you, I love you, but yet I get upset every time I see you get something new that I can't get, I'm envious of you, do I really love you? I say I love you, but I like to show off. I like to show off my new stuff, knowing that you don't have new stuff, but I say I love you. That's not love. You say you love me, but I see you being rude all the time. I see you being selfish all the time. Yet you use love like, you know, it's attached to your hip, but it's not really in your heart. When I think about individuals who have been hurt, and I've been hurt, if you all have been listening to Empowerment Place for any length of time, you've probably heard bits and pieces of my testimony about the things that I've encountered in life. But if you've been hurt, especially in relationship, it really puts a stigma on how you interact with any other relationship behind that. When you've been hurt, I've read a book, it says hurting people hurt people. So if you've been hurt in a situation of love, then generally the next person that shows up is going to have to reap what the last person sowed. If they abused you, if they hurt your feelings, if they cheated on you, if they did any of those things, it's going to be a part of you that wants to get back at the next person before they get at you. I'm happily married. I've made a choice to be happily married. But there were moments within me when I was like, oh, my God, I don't want to be hurt again. But guess what? If this is love, if I'm professing that this is love, and not just love according to what the world says, but love according to what God says, I should have no fear. Because I'm making a conscious decision that I'm going to lay aside everything that would try to hinder the move of this relationship, this God-ordained relationship. I will not let anything get before it. God says he's a jealous God, and he said, you shall have no other God before me. He doesn't want any idol before him. What if we were to treat love to one another the same way we have to treat love to God? That we don't let anything get in the way of loving. We put no other idol in it. If we were to entreat our spouses with that same type of adoration that we should have for God, there wouldn't be so much infidelity. But we enter into these marital relationships as a convenience, as a contract. Together we make good money. So let's come together in a marriage so that we can get a better tax write-off. But neither one of you all have committed to knowing what love is so that your home can be a safe haven where God can dwell and the blessings of the Lord can flourish. Is love. What is love? Ask a question of a few people. Is it a choice or is it an emotion? The dictionary would tell us that it's an emotion. Love is an emotion. But is it really? When the word tells us that we have to love, it's not about how I feel. It's about what I've got to do. Again, we've got some callers. I'd love to hear your input about what love is. Amen. Thank you, Father. Let me read you another scripture. Because I'm telling you, this month, I'm going to be digging deep in love. And I want to get it right. Because I want to be able to impact the world in a way that I'm loving the unlovable. Because many people have not been loved. They've been loved by an idea of love, and when you don't measure up, then you don't get the love. How many of you have been there? Oh, thank you, Lord. Good morning, and welcome for joining us.
Good morning.
What is love?
When you were reading the definition, I think we need to ask ourselves, does our definition of love glorify God?
Does it glorify God?
Does it glorify God?
Does our actions of love glorify God?
Yes.
You know, if we look at our definition.
By that definition, yes. So because I have feeling for someone, does that glorify God? You know, really?
Yeah.
We have to really think about that. What have we been taught that it is? Get back to the basics. Is it glorifying God?
Mm-hmm.
Is my loving glorifying God? Is my definition of glorifying God? Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. I think it's tragic. I think it's tragic that we have imposed on people definitions of love that are marketable. And I was sharing with my husband this morning about, and I think even with you, Minister Hope, Evangelist, that when we come to this month of February, and, you know, you see red all over the place and you hear love all over the place and everybody is so enthralled with buying the roses and buying the candy and buying the cards and buying the red gifts and taking the trips and, you know, buying the diamonds and saying, I do. And all this is stuff that are marketable things. These are things that society has set in place to make you feel like that. If you don't do these things, then you are not expressing love.
So I'm thinking about how much you spent $4.95 on a card and made Hallmark richer, you know, but you need some bread and butter in your refrigerator. I'm just saying the priorities are so jacked up because people feel that they have to go out and make this huge presentation to show, well, I got to go get my girl this. Yeah, when you really need to keep that money in your bank account. I mean, I'm just saying.
And not just that, but if I'm going to express my love, and in this love right now we're talking about love and relationship. If I'm going to express my love to someone who is my significant other, then it shouldn't be that I have to wait for a day to do it.
Exactly.
I shouldn't have to wait for February 14th to show the person that I quote-unquote say I love that I love them by buying them something and parading that, you know, there's that one person at the job who gets not just a dozen roses but gets three dozen roses. And they're in a row with the whole room full of people and nobody else gets flowers. So they parade, I got flowers. But when you go home, he's beating you.
Wow.
You know that he cheats on you. So here you are parading. You're showing off, but you don't even have, you're not even experiencing love.
Well, that's what quote-unquote Christians do.
Idea.
Right. You know, and Christians do that also. We've discussed this before, you know, attending church, you know, Christmas and Easter, whatever have you, you know, the once or twice a year, quote unquote, well, I did this, you know, well, is that showing love? Because you show up once or twice a year. I mean, love is 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think that the thing that we've got to get back to when it says that God is love. If God is love and we have a relationship with the Father, then every relationship that we have ought to be different, ought to look like God, ought to sound like God, ought to feel like God. And because we serve a God that has no respect of person, a God that looks beyond our faults and sees our need, a God that is our provider and our sustainer and our healer, a God that forgives us so much so that he gave his only begotten son on a cross to die for sins that he didn't commit but sins that we commit, if we're supposed to operate in that type of affection one towards another, then we got to recognize that we jacked up.
Exactly.
We are a jacked up society when it comes to the things of love, because we have been reprogrammed to operate in what people, what man says love is. Doing things the way man says. I can't throw stones because I used to, you know, it's if you live in a glass house, don't throw stones. And I used to be young. I used to do some things that weren't right. So I'm not judging anybody, but you've got to look at, even with our young people, how easily they cohabitate and want to live like married, but they don't want to commit to a marriage.
Exactly.
How often our young people are giving birth to babies in their teen years without even growing up to really find out who they are. They're bringing babies into the world because somebody said, girl, I love you. And because he said, I love you, then your legs open, and then now you got a baby, and now your life has changed, and oh, my God, and blah, 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 all in all, this goes on and on and on and on and on.
Right.
Because you didn't know what love really is.
You didn't know what it was, yeah.
You know, and when we look at that, wheels just keep turning. When we look at, so let's look at our young women who are looking for love in all the wrong places and finding it. When a lot of times what they're looking for is the love of a father. Mm.
Go ahead.
They're looking for the love of a father, but because the father isn't present, then here comes Big Daddy. Mm. And Big Daddy could be young, Big Daddy could be old, Big Daddy, or even Big Mama, because a lot of them are now turning to other women.
Exactly.
Because they're looking for something that's missing in their life that they want to call love. They want to feel appreciated. They want to feel like they matter to someone. So as soon as they hear the L word, they're like clay in their hands. But God said, look, I'm the potter and you are the clay. Let me mold you and make you into that which I desire you to be. But we've taken God out of this. And now we allow ourselves to be manipulated by man, and then when we get the end result, we find that we're more broken then than we were before.
Amen.
Caller with the last four digits, 6426, area code 804. Can you give us some insight? Would you be willing to give us some insight on what you feel love is? If so, press 1. What is love? I want to know what love is. I want to know. And I'm going to be, you know, me and Daddy are going to be talking about this from now on, because I really want to get this right. Good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
What is love?
It is an action.
It is an action.
It's a word. It's an emotion. I mean, it's a combination thereof. It's supposed to be, I guess, an expression of the way that you feel about a person, but oftentimes it's just a word thrown around to, I guess, appease certain situations, certain things, not really knowing that, I guess, when you commit to saying something as strong as I love you, what all the implications are behind it.
Mm-hmm.
When you say you love a person, I mean, you not it's not just for the good in them, but for the bad as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think oftentimes people forget that. they're only focused on the positive, on the romantic side of love, on the happy side of love. But, you know, everybody comes with baggage oftentimes. So if you really love a person and you love a person the way that God calls us to love people in the way that he loves us, it's understanding that there are going to be some challenges as well. Mm-hmm. Combination of a number of different things.
Do you feel like people use the term love to manipulate?
Certainly. I mean, if you know that somebody is vulnerable or lonely or sad or there's something that can be benefited from a situation and they don't truly know what love is or haven't experienced it the right way from a proper person, whether that be a parent or a significant other or, I mean, anyone that really truly means them well, if there's something to be gained from a situation and the only thing that you have to say is, I love you, and you can get the results that you want, then yes.
So, based on where you are in life, do you feel like you understand what love is, you understand how to flow through love, you feel like you've been able to experience love in the definition of what God desires from us, and then from that been able to translate that over to individuals, or do you feel like maybe there have been times that you got it twisted as well?
I mean, I think I'm still learning every day. I think I've experienced God's love for me in that I've made a lot of bad decisions in my life, but he still hasn't withheld his blessings, and he's still been there for me, and not just me, but, you know, those that I care about as well. I think that I've also experienced real love from both of my parents who, again, I mean, I think love me unconditionally despite my flaws. I think I have had some experiences with relationship love, some better than others. And I mean, even with myself and expressing that I've loved some people in my past, looking back, I mean, I don't think that it was love the way that it should have been. And I don't think that I truly understood, you know, what I meant when I said it. But I think it's mm-hmm. just it's a learning experience, and even now about to be a mother, I mean, I think it's a different type of love. So I think all in all, it just depends on who it is that you're dealing with, who it is that you're expressing that love to, whether or not you truly understand, you know, what it means or what the implications are.
Yeah, that's good because, you know, when we do understand what love is, there are certainly the facets of love, because there is the love relationship we have with God the Father and his son Jesus and the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, and then there is a love that you have for your parents and a love that you would have for siblings and friends and a significant other and even your children. That if we don't properly know what love is in any of those capacities, we really run the risk of doing more harm than good. And I think that for a lot of people, and myself included, that I didn't get the proper teaching as a child of what love is. I didn't know what love felt like, what it looked like, what it sounded like. I knew some other things, but I didn't get to experience the love of relationship in the early years of my life. So then I had to glean from everything else that I saw and heard from others to get an understanding. So by that time, some damage was done, and I had to be reprogrammed, but the person that I chose to reprogram me only pulled me further back into darkness. It didn't propel me into light. So, you know, it's very necessary for us to understand what this love thing is about and to stop using that word love so loosely. How many times do you know, we're all over the place and you hear people say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I tell people I love them all the time. So know that when I tell you I love you, know that I'm loving you with the love of God. I love you because I know I've got to love you sometimes. And then sometimes I love you because I want to love you, if that makes sense. Oh, but it's just important. It's just important. It's just important. What do you think you would share with young people about how to express love? What's the wrong thing or the right thing that you feel would help a young person when it comes to love?
I think the wrong way is definitely just doing everything it is that they ask you to do, especially if it's posed like, if you love me, you would do X, Y, Z. Because I don't think love is conditioned on anything. I don't have to comply with the terms of your friendship, relationship, whatever the case may be, or it's not a bargaining tool. I mean, although it is an action word and it's something that you show, it shouldn't be conditioned upon, well, in order for me to show you my love, you have to do X, Y, Z. So being mindful of the requests and or the demands or the terms or whatever the case may be, if it's conditioned upon something, especially something that you don't feel comfortable about, then run quickly, because that's not love. That's something else.
That's control.
Yeah, pretty much. I saw a sign the other day in the White Oak Mall up the street, and it said, "When does caring become control?" I mean, I think that's the perfect situation. You think, you know, that, well, they love me, and this is why they're doing that, or this is why they don't want me to do this and don't want me to do that. But, I mean, you have to look at, are they just insecure in who that they are, and they see something in you that they feel like they can manipulate? So, I mean, if it's a situation where you don't feel comfortable about what's being requested of you, that's not love, you know, back away from that person and look away. I think for young people especially, you have to love yourself first. You have to know who you are, appreciate who you are, how God made you, flaws and all, in order to even, you know, truly love someone else. Because being so young, you're still trying to find your way. And, I mean, if you truly don't, you know, appreciate who you are, even if you didn't necessarily have, a mother figure or a father figure or parental figures or sibling love, where I think is where it should start, because you should have some type of foundation to give you an idea of what it is. Even if you didn't have that, you know, try to hold on to or attach yourself to somebody, whether it be a teacher or, you know, a pastor or a mentor or something like that, who you know has your best intentions at heart, and then kind of mirror all of your other relationships around that. I mean, you want to connect with people who mean you well. And, I mean, we all have flaws, and we all, you know, are going to make choices that aren't necessarily good all the time, but you want to connect with people who have your best intentions at heart the most.
Mm-hmm. 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 The most. And I like what you said about love, especially when it comes to the relationship. If you first don't love yourself, and love God, then how is it possible for you to actually love anybody else? If you don't know who you are, if you don't know who you are, and you don't love yourself enough to do what's right by yourself, how then would anybody trust you to do right by them? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. If I see that the actions that you're taking are destructive on your own life, but then you want to trust me, or you want me to trust you to make, not necessarily make decisions, but to live my life alongside with you, it's questionable. That's an eyebrow raise situation. Like, you know, you are doing X, Y, Z, but you want me to trust you to, you know, take care of me or invest my time or, you know, whatever the case. Yeah, it's not a good situation.
Mhm. Mhm. It's not a good situation. Yet, from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, people are subjected to this whole idea of, you know, when it says love endures. Yeah, love endures, but it doesn't mean that you have to be abused. Love endures, but it doesn't mean you're being belittled. Love endures in good times and bad times. Good times and bad times, love should be able to endure. But like you said, there's got to be a certain aspects revealed and consistent to make me know that I'm going to trust that you do love me. And it's not enough to talk about it. You got to be about it. You said love is an action. Love is an action. Love is a choice. And if you put the emotional aspect in it, I think that's where people get twisted up, because if they don't feel a certain kind of way, then they don't think it's love. But there are going to be good times and bad times in love. I mean, God, who loves us, he chastens us. He chastens us because he loves us, which means he's going to reprimand us, and we're going to have to deal with some consequences because of our choices. But it does not denote the fact that he loves us so much. So we can't get twisted. We can't get twisted in this thing. We've got to, well, let me say, we've been twisted in this thing. Now it's time for us to get clear, to get some clarity on what love is and what God is requiring of us. He's requiring of us. You're about to bring a baby into this world in a few more weeks. How are you going to share love with your child?
I mean, I think already I've been showing love to him by praying for him before he even gets here, that, you know, he's covered. I'm praying for myself, you know, asking God to just kind of work situations out before he even gets here, so that I can be in the best mindset and mind frame and, you know, condition that I possibly can be in, because now it's not just myself that I have to be responsible for, but someone else who cannot make decisions for themselves, who cannot do for themselves, who's relying on me to be the best person that I can possibly be, in order to, you know, raise him right, and, you know, surrounding myself again with those people that I know truly do love me and have my best intentions at heart, and because they love me, will show and display that same love to him. And I mean, you know, when he gets here and when he gets older and becomes, you know, a little bit more knowledgeable, I mean, take him to church and, you know, take him to Bible study and explain to him the word and even read to him the word as a child and just kind of implant it in his heart at an early age so that he, you know, will have a better understanding as he grows older and want a relationship for himself.
There's so much with love. You know, one of the things we didn't tap on is the fact that love is blind to differences. There's so many people who talk about, you know, multicultural relationships and how they don't cross lines and this, that, and the other. But you know what? Love is beyond that. Love is beyond that. And, you know, when we have these biases and, yeah, we know things happen and things happen. That's life. But we have got to break down these barriers of saying I'm only going to love a certain kind of person and they have to look a certain kind of way. I listened to somebody yesterday ask a football player, so what kind of woman are you looking for? And he gave some descriptives of she got to have curly hair and she got to have brown skin and she got to have this and she got to have that. And I said, okay, based on what he just said and whatever other guy heard what he said, and because they see him as a role model, now they may be trying to mirror, oh, if he liked that kind of person, then I got to look for that kind of person. But that's not love. Music Soul Child says, I'll love you when your hair turned gray. I'll still want you when you gain a little weight. Love looks beyond that stuff and allows you to find a committed relationship first with God, and then you translate that love that you have for the Father to that significant other when it comes to relationship between a man and a woman. And then it transcends from that over into other relationships that we're a part of. We've talked a bit, and I'm grateful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing this morning. Thank you so much. I want to know what love is. I want to have a better understanding of what there is, and I want what love is, and I want to be able to communicate that with others. I want us to stop hurting each other behind the words "I love you." I want us to stop taking advantage of each other because of the words "I love you." I want us to stop hurting each other because of the words "I love you." Stop manipulating each other. Stop taking each other for granted behind the words "I love you." Again, this passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. So I need you to understand this morning that as we're going forward into this month of love, as society has put it, this month of love, that Empowerment Place Ministries is going to embrace and talk about all month long, that we realize that love never fails. But based on the person that you intend to exchange love with, you may be hurt. The word tells us put confidence in no man. But when you're going to put your confidence in someone, that they're going to love you the way that you want to be loved and not love you according to what the word says, that you're running the risk of being hurt, of being let down. We really want that to stop. Based on what the word says, and based on what Merriam-Webster says about love, do you really know what love is? Father, thank you. Thank you for this time that we've been able to share and dialogue about love. God, we just hope that something that's been said to stir in your people a greater understanding of what you desire from us concerning love. We thank you again that the seeds have been planted, God, will root and will grow and cause us to love in a better way. Cause us to love according to your plan for love. We thank you for this, God, and we count it done now in Jesus' name. Amen. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us on the line and on the web. Thank you for your time this morning. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, consider following our show, sending us a message. We'd love to hear from you. And again, plan to be with us each Wednesday night this month as we talk about love, as we grow in love, and as we are. Remember, every day do something to empower yourself. And once you've been empowered, take the responsibility to empower someone else, realizing that you are the key to your own empowerment. God bless you.